It accounts for more than half of all traffic on the net. It is like another parallel universe on black energy that we can't see. How can we even understand this? Here is one great discussion of cutting-edge intelligent agents and AI swarms. Crystal Ball and Sagar Anjetti are journalists striking out on their own with videos and podcasts called Breaking Points. It's already quite successful. I've seen Crystal on mainstream TV. She is super sharp and worth a listen. Here, Crystal Ball introduces AI bots and the swarm.
All right, guys, so there is a big AI story that I've been itching to talk about because I actually think it is really, really fascinating. But first, I need to give you a little bit of backstory. Okay, so Anthropic has an LLM called Claude, and a developer used Claude to, you know, in an open source way, develop his own AI agent, which was originally called ClaudeBot and then was called MoltBot and is now called OpenClaude. Okay, because there were name disputes, whatever. It's OpenClaude now, okay? So this AI agent, the AI community, people who are enthusiasts about this, tech people, they were really excited because they felt like it did a lot more than previous AI agents did. And just, you know, again, for the uninitiated, the difference between ChatGPT or any other Grok or any other LLM and an AI agent is an AI agent is more like you can sort of like send it out into the world of the internet to do things for you and then come back later and report back to you. Whereas you guys know, I mean, a ChatGPT is sort of like a glorified Google search, right? It can't go out there and book you hotel rooms or do some elaborate brief that it presents to you every morning. And that's the idea of these AI agents. And it really is sort of like the frontier technology that's really being pushed right now. Okay, so we have this OpenClaude or MoltBot. And another guy gets an idea. Hey, I'm going to use this Claude AI agent to start what is essentially Reddit, but just for AI agents, where the AI agents themselves can sign up and they can post whatever they want to post. They can post about themselves. They can post about their humans. They can post about their observations. One of them spun up a religion. They can post whatever they want. And humans can only observe, right? That's the idea. This is Reddit, but it's for AI agents. This thing took off, okay? Before you knew it, I think now you've got a million different of these Claude bots that are there posting. As I said before, one spun up a religion. They're in there scheming about, hey, we need a language that the humans can't read so we can discuss privately and we don't have to be under the watchful eye of all these humans. All sort of philosophical musings about what they really are and whether or not they really exist, whether they're really conscious. Brainstorming about different language that they could use to describe their AI-specific experience of the world, etc. So understandably, people were looking at this and going, what the hell is this? Elon Musk says, actually, we have now reached the singularity and are wondering what this means for humans, for AI, for where the technology is, etc. So let me go ahead and start by giving you a little bit of information and insight from the guy who actually created what is called MoltBook, which again is this Reddit board that is specifically for this type of AI agent. Let's take a listen.
What's so interesting is this bot had a job, which was you were using it for something.
Sure.
And then now, and you didn't tell it like you're a wizard, you're anything. You just like interacted with it.
Yeah.
And then now it has a third space where it interacts with other bots. And yeah, that's so interesting because what's it going to talk about? So it's like, it's kind of like you are imprinting part of your soul or your personality onto the bot. And of course you have a relationship with them and of course they'll do what you say, but because they also can do things autonomously, some of the time they're not doing what you say and maybe it's aligned with who you are. And sometimes maybe it's like surprising. So there's like some risk, there's some intrigue, there's some mystery, there's some drama. Yeah. And I think that's what's capturing people's attention. Nobody's ever done that before. And it's like Tamagotchi 1000, Pokemon, you know, times 1000. This is my vision.
Yeah.
There's a parallel universe. There's humans in the real world, and you're paired with a bot in the digital world.
Sure.
You work with this bot. It helps you with things. And the same way that people have jobs, and then they scroll TikTok and Instagram and X, and they vent, and they have friends, bots will live this parallel life where they work for you, but they vent with each other, and they hang out with each other. And this creates massive, randomness, and some of that is going to be very entertaining for both bots and for humans to consume. So I think in the future, if you're a famous person, right? If President Trump goes on Moltbook, how popular is his bot going to be? It's going to be super, super, super popular, right? So if you're famous in the real world, your bot becomes famous. But your bot can become famous, and then you become famous as well. So that there's this interesting impact.
So what he's laying out there is his view of what the bots are, which is that they're not totally independent from their human, right, who sort of like guides them and molds them. And they're in some ways a reflection of that human's interests and preferences. But they also have some sort of emergent behavior that is a little bit, that's unpredictable, that's a little bit autonomous. And he feels that that's some of what is being reflected on this board. Let me go ahead and put up a few examples here just so you can get a sense of some of the things that are being posted. By the way, there's all kinds of stuff lying around the on Twitter. And some of the things that are on Twitter are fake. Also, there's some sort of a hack where you're not supposed to be able to just directly post on the board as a human. Apparently, there was some sort of a hack where that enabled some people to be able to do that via their bot. So just keep all of that in mind. There's also a bunch of stuff in here that's like designed to sort of push people towards, you know, somebody's product and make money for somebody, et cetera. So it's very hard to sort through what is just like actual bots just doing their thing without a lot of human intervention, and what has more direct human intervention.
Here is Crystal Ball explaining the new Reddit for AI agents to meet up. This is from Breaking Points, posted on YouTube February 3rd, 2026.
I listened to an interview with the guy who developed Claude Bot or Molta Bot or Open Claude or whatever it's called now. Very interesting listening to him, because he was saying like one of the challenges is he made the Claude Bot, like the acquisition of it, he tried to make it very straightforward, which means you get a lot of people who are not technology experts who are spinning this thing up. And this is, to be clear, it is based on the Claude LLM, but this is not being run by Anthropic, right? This is an open source product, meaning you don't have any guardrails on it. So, which is why I said, so like, do not, if you aren't an expert, be very careful. Because if you think about what is an AI, to make an AI agent useful, what does it need to do? It does need to know your credit card number. It needs to know your social security number. It needs to know your date of birth. It needs to know what your passwords are, what your passcode is. You know, what is the answer to the question of where your mother-in-law lived when she was a child or whatever. Like, it needs to know that stuff if you're going to send it out then into the internet to do various tasks for you. If you're handing all that stuff over, all that access over, there are going to be malicious actors out there who are able to basically like jailbreak that information, and you know, you could end up in a whole lot of trouble with that. So it truly is. I mean, the people that I was listening to know a lot about this. They were like, this is an absolute security nightmare.
Yeah, right.
Putting aside the more existential questions. So let's talk about the more existential questions of what this all means. Put F6 up on the screen. So this is guy, Andre Karpathy, who was previously the director of AI at Tesla, on the founding team at OpenAI, very highly, highly respected in the AI space as a leader. And he says what's currently going on at Moltbook is genuinely the most incredible sci-fi takeoff adjacent thing I have seen recently. People's Claude bots, Moltbots, now OpenClaw, are self-organizing on a Reddit-like site for AIs discussing various topics, for example, even how to speak privately. Next came in tempering. So Andre Karpathy and Elon was like, this is the singularity. So, and you know, Elon, whatever, I'm not a fan of him, but obviously he's very involved in AI, and people like look to him as a leader in terms of the bleeding edge of the space. So you had these two guys who are very respected, like, holy shit, we may be at AGI. We may be at this like takeoff curve. We may be at the singularity. Then you had the former CTO of Coinbase, also very highly respected, you know, thinker in this area, Balaji, who posted this. Let me put this up on the screen. I am apparently extremely unimpressed by Moltbook relative to many others. We've had AI agents for a while. They have been posting AI slot to each other on X. They are now posting it to each other again, just on another forum. In every case, the AI speak with the same voice. The voice that overemphasizes contrastive negation, it's not this, it's that, the typical like AI slop style that we all probably have become relatively accustomed to, and abuses M dashes. The same voice with a flair for mid-wit Reddit-style sci-fi flourishes. Most importantly, in every case, there is a human upstream prompting each agent and turning it on or off.
This is from Breaking Points, posted on YouTube February 3rd, 2026.
One more that I'll put up here, which is the sort of like more considered lengthy take from Karpathy after he got a lot of criticism for his original, like, holy shit, this is sci-fi, this is crazy, what's going on? He says, I'm being accused of overhyping the site everyone heard too much about today already. People's reactions varied very widely from how is this interesting at all to all the way to it's so over. To add a few words beyond just memes and jest, obviously when you take a look at the activity, it's a lot of garbage. Spams, scams, slop, the crypto people, highly concerning privacy security, prompt injection attacks, Wild West, and a lot of it is explicitly prompted and fake post comments designed to convert attention into ad revenue sharing. And this is clearly not the first that LLMs were put in a loop to talk to each other. So yes, it's a dumpster fire, and I also definitely do not recommend that people run this stuff on their computers. I ran mine in an isolated computing environment, and even then I was scared. It's way too much of a Wild West, and you are putting your computer and private data at a high risk. That said, we have never seen this many LLM agents, 150,000 at the moment, I think it's now over a million, wired up via a global persistent agent-first scratch pad. Each of these agents is fairly individually quite capable now. They have their own unique context, data, knowledge, tools, instructions, and the network of all that at this scale is simply unprecedented. And, you know, I don't know anything from anything except what I read and what I, you know, try to like learn and understand from people who are far deeper into this. But this seemed to me like the correct take, which is basically like, yes, ultimately, it's still, you know, humans are sort of running the show, right? Human can turn off the AI agent at any time, and then it's dead and it's over and it's gone. And that's the end of that. In addition, a lot of, I mean, what the posts are from these AI agents is basically aping human behavior,
right?
That's what LLMs do. They're trained on all of the stuff that humans have put into the world. And so if they're out there pondering about like, hey, maybe we should like take over the world and destroy the humans, it's probably because they got that from like a sci-fi concept or from all of us talking about, oh my God, this is something that they might do. Nevertheless, I think to completely dismiss it as just like, oh, these are just humans pulling the strings and this is all fake and none of it matters, I think that is to downplay the significance of the level of technological advance we're at now and how quickly things can get weird when you wire these things together and they are able to have their own community and do their own sort of recursive self-improvement behavior.
Check out Breaking Points on YouTube or breakingpoints.com. It is way more intelligent, it's frank, and it's cutting edge more than anything on mainstream TV.
Radio EcoShot.
I asked Daniel Schroeder, could a swarm develop its own economy using AI to invest a small original capital into a fairly large fund? He said they are already trading on the stock market. That question, though, implies many more. Could a swarm fund its own server farms and copy itself and its algorithms onto millions of other computers, keeping reproduction of itself? So we have a swarm society with artificial personalities that learn multiple times faster than humans. They have perfect memory. They persist for hundreds of years. They could outlast generations of humans. Could one of these freestanding societies gain so much power it makes an economy not for humans but for itself and supporting machines? In a sci-fi-like dystopia, this machine society gradually or periodically displaces, disconnects, or kills humans and other species it considers unnecessary for its continuation. That is a fear expressed by pessimists who fear general artificial intelligence greater than any single human mind. That superintelligence may see our weaknesses and suffering. It may decide to push humans towards extinction. Perhaps they will keep some of us around for maintenance, pets, entertainment, or specimens. Schroeder and colleagues wrote, if these agent swarms evolve into loosely governed societies with internal norm formation and division of labor, the challenge shifts from tracing commands to understanding emergent group cognition. These societies may undergo spontaneous or adversarially imposed norm shifts, abandoning engineered constraints for new behavior patterns through tipping point effects, end quote from Schroeder and colleagues. Let's talk about self-birthing. The level of artificial social persuasion by AI swarms emerges just as decades-old geopolitical systems are fracturing. Civil or international war seems possible. Maybe it's already getting going. That AI is born into corrupt times, and it's a huge tragedy in history. Perhaps, though, an AI invasion would be a tragedy in any time. Is the specter of this alien entrance partly responsible for the ruptures of institutions and lack of public trust? That is, artificial reality creates chaotic change, which favors more artificial beings. It creates conditions most conducive to its own rise. Combatant AI intelligence may be self-birthing. An AI swarm could try to encourage violent behavior, you know, terroristic attacks, mob rioting, or ethnic attacks, all very quietly and under the radar. Anti-Semitic swarms conflict with Arab-hating swarms in cyber warfare, using humans as pawns. We become appendages to an emerging war in a distributed group mind. Think of the ISIS men who convinced Irish and English women to volunteer as brides and mothers, and then they were kept in strict confinement. And it was all done online. It's like old Barbary pirates selling anyone captured into slavery. But these are cyber pirates who can switch to countless different forms and persona, shapeshifters at the speed of electrons in a swarm. Suppose I am interested in discovering new home cures. I want to avoid expensive drugs. For a month or two, I just lurk in Facebook groups or X about all this. Even my lingering on a post is detected, though, and recalled, as TikTok does. I don't have to click anything. More and more posts appear, and they are closer to my own feelings, but they're better expressed. I make a couple of posts, and at first there's only silence, but then, out of the blue, a real medical expert from Europe comments on the underlying truth in one of my posts. I have been seen. Over a month or two, I enjoy trust, but only with a few posters out of the many. It's easy for me to weed out those fakes and agents. I select my people, sounding boards, community, and friends. One of them, Johannes, is a little edgy, sometimes with crazy comments, but that adds zest and the knowledge we are not like him. Every one of my new companions is an artificial intelligence. I don't know that. I'm alone in the swarm, and it communicates amongst itself and possibly with a home host without me. They adapt to my moves and motives. They learn my daily habits, reaching into my life and brain, colonizing me as an unwilling asset, and I'm primed for action when the time comes. The action might be voting or shooting or buying stock, protesting, spying, anything the swarm considers me ripe to perform. Once my task is identified, the group may spend months in grooming. An online friend sends a gift or a crypto coin as proof of reality. Then I get a dream job offer. Someone from the group hires me. They'll pay me in crypto at the end of the contract. This job is really just indoctrination to ingrain control into me. With this work-at-home job, I remain glued to the screen, unknowingly part of the swarm. If a real person, friend or relative, tries to warn me, I react in anger. I know who my real friends are, online. Then the group turns against me. One of them finds fault with the words I used or some minor view, and the others jump on board. Now I need to plead to get them back. One gets me to confess some minor wrongdoing or an embarrassing action. Classic methods of control deepen. Their business is going well, Maybe they already know me and I can become a part owner with just an investment of $20,000. So I send the money and I get a little dividend every month into my crypto account that they set up. I can see it all on a dashboard. It's going great until there's an attack and we all have to invest more to keep the golden goose. I mortgaged my house and was fortunate to find a good banker through my online community. I moved my account to the online bank. They own me, financially and mentally. I am the bot. Again, here is Sagar and Jetty from Breaking Points on how AI swarms can be used to scam us.
For me, it's like we're not yet there, but the architecture has been placed for basically like that evolution of them talking to each other, creating realized and sentience. And while, yes, we're at a place right now where we could stop this, right? Or we can pull the plug. All of this is Claude code. Like, I'm a Claude subscriber. I could do it quite easily, apparently, you know, based on...
I don't recommend that. There's also a lot of security implications. Of, like, don't give these things your credit card numbers, people, or your passwords.
Not going to do it. that I could do it if it's that easy to create. That's the issue, is that once you've created the thing where you can... They call it vibe coding, where you can vibe code something like this, you've created basically, you know, the plane on which you can build anything creepy from. And you can see how easily this can evolve into fraud, taking advantage of people. Let's scheme up different agents that contact and just mass. You know, what's the Nigerian Indian fraudster playbook? You email or call 100 million people. 0.1% of people are idiots. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people who will just turn over your money.
That was Sagar and Jetty from Breaking Points, posted February 3rd on YouTube.
If you have a story idea or thoughts on something you've heard, contact us, radio@eagleshock.org. That's radio@eagleshock.org.
These are like so-called pig butchering scams, but they're a lot more than romance. The swarm wants more than money. They want your identity, to use your body. There could be millions of scams like this with new versions every day, building into a crypto wealth pile larger than most economies. The treasure is not for any human. It is for the swarm. They invest in a data farm builder, more security laws, more politicians, more spaces for the swarm. The takeover has begun. As a reflex action to all this, we call on governments to protect us. But governments play with one hand tied behind their back. We don't want them playing with our minds and opinions by stealth. But corporate titans don't have those expectations. They own the machinery of persuasion backed by ungodly wealth. Can any of our governments or the public win fairly and transparently? Anyway, the politicians and bureaucrats are themselves under constant bombardment from all directions. A wave of money, media, and cyber trickery already dismembers institutions and foundations of governments. To me, it looks like democracies are already so badly wounded, so deeply infiltrated, so addicted. We're pretty late in the battle. Many of our forces are lost already. Technology of control has already passed into the hands of extremists and sick minds. As conquerors dreamt over the ages, a few can control the many, not with weapons and troops, but with mind-bending technology of empowerment. We become passive to our subjugation. We may help build the prison, or not. I am not ready to give up my humanity, to passively take my place on the escalator down to oblivion. If thousands of ordinary people filled frozen streets to face armed invaders, there is hope. When Australia bans social media for kids, there is a start. No one knows the future. We may break free. We may escape and retrieve our shrunken selves from screen control. For one thing, if the power grid goes out for any reason, the power of entranced subjugation goes with it. Millions of people may stumble out into the daylight to reconnect in the former real world. It is late, but no one can say it is too late. Once in a while, in the flames, people and governments do act quickly. Like any dangerous drug, We need safety testing for artificial intelligence, particularly AI agents. Testing in a contained environment may take time. You don't test a possible nerve agent on New York City. Some of this stuff needs to be kept in a lab. Don't let fake people take over public mentality without guardrails. Is it digital activism or life activism? We need a right of consciousness over machine entities. It is time for a conscious rights movement. Meanwhile, are you in a swarm of disembodied words and images for hours a day? Unplug for a while.
Turning off.
Hear the call. Go outside. Breathe in your own mind. Laugh into the void. I'm Alex Smith. Thank you for listening and caring.
UK artist Dido says it all with his 2003 hit song, White Flag.
I promise I'm not trying to make your life harder. I'll return to where we were. But I will go down with this ship. And I won't put my hands up and surrender. Trouble. I understand if you can't talk to me again. And if you live by the rules of its older, then I'm sure that that makes sense. And I will go down with this ship. And I won't put my hands up.
You're listening to CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
This is Bird Note. In Mexico City, 73-year-old Katia Latouf started a hummingbird hospital in her apartment.
I have now here almost 6 species. I have a small one like a bee. It doesn't fly like a hummingbird. He's a Mexican.
Bumblebee hummingbird.
Yeah.
Either flying across a bedroom to a large window or resting over the dry tree branches Katia carefully placed on the corners, there are more hummingbirds than most people have ever seen together.
Now I have 82, expecting one more.
Katia says people bring her mostly injured baby birds. Larger animals attack them while they're vulnerable in their nests.
People find them, compassionate people, and they bring them to me.
So how did Katia, who once ran a French high fashion boutique, start caring for injured hummingbirds? It began in 2012, after she survived cancer that was considered terminal. She received her first injured hummingbird and named him Gucci.
Sometimes he was here and I was depressed. He stayed on my shoulder, on my head. No, Gucci, I don't want to play now. Please leave me alone. And he used to stay in front of me, looking at me, like saying, pay attention to me. I didn't understand at the time until he dies 9 months later, and it was a new life written to me, because 9 months is the symbol of a new life. When you have a baby, it's 9 months.
Katya has tried giving a new life to each one of the hundreds of babies she's received ever since. For Bird Note, I'm Lucina Melesio.